traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, International Equine Report, coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. On today's program, we're going to go over a little bit about what, who, what, when, and where International Equine Network is and how we came about. Next week, we're going to have videos of races that are a part of our program, how we get there, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. We're going to go over and do an analyzation of the Robert B. Lewis from Santa Anita Park. We're going to do an analyzation again from Gulfstream Park of the Holy Bull. And we're going to do an analyzation of the races coming to us live from Aqueduct. And that's going to be the Wither Stakes at tomorrow. See, I learned a new word, analyzation. I thought that was pretty cool. Heard it on the news one day. And all. But no, all kidding aside, what I'm trying to do here at the International Equine Network is get equine information distribution to the public. It's really important to our industry that we get the people educated on the horse industry, what we do, where we go, how we do it. And the only way we can do that is through podcasts and TV broadcasts and, radio broadcasts that we're doing. So if you go to my website, which is IENTV.org, you can see what we're about. For example, last week on the International Equine Report, we had live coverage of the annual Eclipse Award for Thoroughbreds. It's a good program there, and the whole program's there. You can click on it, and you can see who was the best trainer, who was the best horse, who won the most money. It's really, really good program there. And it kind of highlights, the people that are making news in the thoroughbred industry. And then today we have At the Wire, which is live, and we got Racing Across America from there. You go there, and you just click on the little arrow, and you can watch horse racing live from several tracks across the country. And then if you scroll on down, we got the Fairgrounds, which has live racing. We've got Oaklawn Park, which has live racing. Tampa Bay Downs, which has live racing. So we kind of give you a little bit of everything, from across the country in the thoroughbred industry. I hope you go to it and take a look at it and see what it is. But that's part of the information distribution that we do. That's the final product. The racing is the final product of what we do. And for example, I've got a documentary coming up that you'll be able to see updates on every week. And then we'll have the hour-long documentary in April. We'll have that. But it's called How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. And if you go to the website, scroll all the way down to the bottom, you'll see what we're doing. We have How They Get There, the 2025 Kentucky Derby. The journey starts here on IEN. Daily updates from the bloodhorse.com, Churchill Downs, and IEN. And the first segment we have is called The Greatest 2 Minutes in Sports. Our friends from WHAS TV 11 in Louisville gave us the video so that we could, get this information out. It's really a good video if you're thinking about going to the Derby. Take time and look at it and see, and you can see the excitement of the Derby, how it gets it gets crazy, and it's a great thing to do because, it's an important part of our sports industry and really important part of our equine industry worldwide. And what I like about this program, once you see it, you'll get the Derby fever. And once you get the Derby fever, it don't go away. I'm telling you that right now. You'll be hooked to the Triple Crown, and it starts with the Kentucky Derby for the rest of your life. And, these are things that are important to me. And this is how I grew up seeing, you know, like the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont. You know, that was a part of our life. And one of the things that we do here, another thing we have here is called the Triple Crown Traditions. And Triple Crown Traditions is about the food and the traditional parties that you have, you know, at Derby time or Preakness time or Belmont and Breeders' Cup time. And we got all kinds of recipes that are on there that you can take a look at. And if you want to, you can send us your Derby recipe. You can send it to me at my email address. And that would be great to taste some of your traditions that you have. And I tell you, it would really be good. It's ientv.2025@gmail.com. And you just go to the website and all that information's there and see what it's all about and everything. But, you know, getting back here to the journey to the Derby. Every horseman dreams of running in the Derby. You know, he always has that desire to run, get a horse to run in the Derby. And I've been very lucky since 1982. I was in 18 Kentucky Derbies working with horses. Since 1982, Derby Day was the highlight. It was better than Christmas for me. And, you know, I've been around a lot of good people. One Star Farm, Dwayne Lucas, Palm Beach Downs here in Delray has produced, you know, a few Derby winners that I work at here. So, you know, it's very exciting to do. And I start looking forward to it. In the 1st of February is when you have to really get down to business if you're going to the Derby. Because it's three months from tomorrow. The Derby will be 3 months from tomorrow. And you got to get points to get into the Derby. The top 20 horses with the most points reserves a ticket in the starting gate for Churchill Downs on the first Saturday in May. And it's exciting to do that. And there's so many ways you can get there. One of the things that people don't realize is in order to get to the Derby, you got to earn points to get into the Derby. And that's the toughest part of the whole bit is you got to earn points, and the top 20 point getters are the ones that get into the Derby. And let me tell you, that's the tough road that the owners and the trainers have to decide, you know, where they're going to, you know, what races are they going to. And that is really tough because sometimes your horses might not be ready to go. Sometimes they might be ahead of schedule or behind schedule or on schedule. So, you know, it's really tough. And a lot of things make your journey to the Derby can make it difficult. And one of them is weather conditions. That's one of the toughest parts about a horse business. You're trying to get your horse to the Derby. And let me tell you, it can, like last year, we had so many rain days last year in Hot Springs at Oakland Park, at the fairgrounds in New Orleans, Aqueduct up in New York. Here in Florida, we had a few, but not like they did around the rest of the country. Out on the West Coast, they had a lot of rain out there, and even had some days they couldn't train because of the rain and the weather. So, well, like they did in Laurel, Maryland yesterday, they had to cancel racing up there because of the rain and the weather. So those are things that you can't factor into your ideal plan when you get ready to go to the Derby. That's the toughest part. And depending on how long you might have that setback, depends on where you race at. For example, we'll give you a good idea. If you're going to the Arkansas Derby, there's several races at Hot Springs that you can earn points in to get towards your Derby, you know, journey. And one of them includes the Arkansas Derby. And so what's nice is you can go to Hot Springs and stable your horse there, and you can be there for 2 or 3 months. You can literally run there and get enough points to go to the Derby if you can win 2 or 3 of the races that they have there. You know, that would be the ideal situation. And just about every other track has the same situation. The fairgrounds in New Orleans, Santa Anita out in California, Gulfstream here in Florida, Tampa Bay here in Florida. You have all these different things that you can go to. And it's kind of tough for an owner and trainer to decide. I'll give you a good example. One year in the Derby here in Florida, we had some of the top guns here in the country. We had horses from California, New York, Florida, Kentucky, Hot Springs. They all shipped in for the Florida Derby. And it was a tough race. And the Florida Derby, you know, just 4 or 5 weeks off of the Derby, and it makes it tough, you know, to have to take your horse and go out and running for everything he has, you know, weekend and weekend out. It makes it tough for him to get there. So now, once you start looking at things like that, the weather, you know, the horses you might run against, and hopefully you can keep your horse in top shape. The toughest part on a horse is having them recover from a race. It usually takes 4 or 5 weeks for them to recover. And that's if they're healthy. You know, that's if they're healthy. And a lot of times they don't come out of the races very healthy. They might, you know, pull a muscle, get bumped up in the gate. There's just a lot of things, you know, that can happen to a horse on his way to, you know, on a race schedule. And the bad part about it is there's no do-overs. And, you know, you can't say, well, you know, we'll get them next week. Because there's only one time that you can run the Derby, and that's when you're a three-year-old. And that makes it really tough on your owner, your trainer, your jockey, your crew, everybody. It's really tough. So, you know, you got all things like that to think about. And, you know, I tell you, I was really lucky when I was in quite a few Derbies. We had good horses, and unfortunately, it was one of those things that, you know, it was real tough. And there's such a big letdown because after you run in the Derby, you know, no matter where you finish at, you hope your horse is fit enough and, you know, comes out of the Derby, you know, in real good shape. And then you got 2 weeks later, you got the Preakness, and then 3 weeks later, you got the Belmont. So, you know, it really makes it a tough road to go. You can't have any setbacks or, you know, anything like that. And I tell you what, one of the most disappointing things that I had to experience was we were getting ready to run the Kentucky Derby. And we had to come down to a decision to run the Derby or win the Preakness. That was a tough decision, a very tough decision. And, you know, it's things like that the Derby's all about. And we want to get, you know, our fans and our listeners and our viewers to see what the Derby's all about and what, you know, what we can do. Now, on next week's show, we're going to show how horses get their horseshoes, when they get them and how they're put on. And, you know, it's really going to be a good segment there for us to see. It's just amazing to see what all goes into a horse, you know, before he runs a race, especially the Derby. So, you know, we'll take a look at that. Then we're going to take a look at how they feed, what kind of feed they get, where it comes from, how it's made. You know, we're just doing all these things. You don't have to be a real horse person to watch how they get there, the Derby. And it's going to be really interesting, you know, for most people to see because it's things that you don't see Derby week on TV. You know, basically they show the fastest and the most highlights of most of the year. Then they get to Derby and then it's another year coming back. But, you know, it's kind of exciting and everything. I like it. And I'm sure everybody out there, you know, would like it, even if you don't have horses. And one of the things that I suggest that you do is listen to me. You got to listen to me. I know I don't get across very professional, but, you know, I can't afford fame and fortune. And that's my deal. But the best thing to do, and what I like about Derby, and growing up in the southern Indiana, Louisville, Kentucky area, you know, Derby was always big to us. It was a part of our life for 10 days, the Derby Festival. you know, when you look at it, there's more to the Derby than just the Derby that makes it special. You have a Derby Festival week that they have. It's one of those things that it's just, you have to go see. You don't have to go to the race, but just go see it. The Kentucky Derby Festival Association started the first week-long festival in 1935, including a parade, a riverfront regatta, and a concert. The first director was Olympic gold medalist Arnold Jackson. In 1937, a Derby Festival king and queen were crowned, marking the start of the tradition after the foods of 1937 and were presented. And it was the greatest thing in the world. They got all kinds of food, you know, different traditions. And it's just not, you know, Kentucky. It's all the people that go to the Derby. You know, you have your own party at your house, watching on TV, create your own foods, you know, your traditional food, which is really good, you know, to do. And so, you know, that's what makes the Derby and all these equine events special. I'll give you a good example. The Preakness Party is a good festival to go to. They highlight Maryland seafood, crab cakes, and lobsters, and it's really good. They have their own tradition, and I tell you, they started something a few years back, and it's about the arts, and it's they've got artists from all over the world come now, over 200 artists that come in and they paint pictures of horses and stories. And it's one of the best art festivals that I've ever seen, you know, to go and see it. And then Belmont, they have their festivals too. A lot of it's musical. It's really good. So, you know, that's what I like about the horse business. But we got to get everybody out. And I figured if I can get you to the Kentucky Derby Festival to see what they have in those 10 days in the Kentucky area and the Preakness and the then you're going to watch the races. And that's all part about, you know, what we're trying to do here is get everybody interested into the horse business. You know, make family vacations out of it. And that's what I like about the festivals. You know, if you take time in the summertime to go to Kentucky or to, you know, Pimlico in Maryland or Belmont, New York, but let's talk about Kentucky first. If you go in the summertime to Kentucky, you can go see Churchill Downs. You can take a backside tour, ride on a little tram that takes you through it, and they show you in the morning all the horses going out to the track and training, and you can have breakfast, you know, there at the Downs, and just see what, you know, horse people go through in a normal way of life. You know, you can see them walking the horses, bathing the horses, galloping the horses, putting shoes on the horses, you know, and you get a full day there. You'll be tired after you ride on that tram and see all the work that the guys did and girls did out there. So you'll see that. Then you can take a tour of Churchill Downs and see the museum, see how Churchill started, what it looked like then. You can walk into the museum and see a starting gate that the horses come out of. And you can actually walk in the starting gate, you know, and see that, and then you can think about the horse that's in there and the jockey that'll be in there, and, you know, it's kind of good to see. They got a lot of good videos. They got a lot of things in there that you can see, horseshoes, how they're put on. You know, you can see all the different equipment that the horses have to wear, the saddles, the stirrups. You see all that. And it's kind of exciting to go to. And it's a walk-through museum. And a lot of places they go to, they got videos, you know, the interactive videos that you can go in and look at. And that's what I like. And they've got a dome in the museum. And when they start their video tour of Churchill and the Derby, you're inside in a room, and the people are all around you. And it's... I'm not kidding you. You think about it. But people are talking, and then you turn around and you think that they're next to you, but they're not. It's just a video, you know. And And it's really good. And it gives you what the feeling's like to be at Churchill Downs, you know, at the racetrack on Derby Day. One of the things that that I really do enjoy, I like going back and seeing the races that that I was in. And you can look up just about any race you want there in the museum and see it on video if they have a video of it. You know, so that's really good. And then you get a go through the Twin Spires, you get to see, you know, all the seats where they're laid out, see the infield. You know, it gives you a real good feel of the track, you know, before, if you were to go to the Derby, before you go there. And then, you know, you'll know spots that you can ID, you know, that you can use as a reference to go here or to there. It's really good, you know, it's really good. So I would suggest that that you go to it. You can go to www.churchilldowns.com, and they can tell you what it's all about. You can see videos and pictures of it, you know. And if you're ever there at Churchill Downs, look me up. If you take the backside tour, you go by the barn, and you can look me up. And it's Scott Miller who you'd be looking for. Everybody knows me there. But that's what we do. But more importantly, I think more importantly than the race itself, which is very important to any horseman that's out there, I think that it's the tradition that gets the nod and not the win, not the horse that wins. Because if you plan a tradition, you know, with your friends, your family, or whoever, you know, it's something that you can identify as yours, and that's part of the Derby. It might be, you might come up with a new Derby pie or a new barbecue sauce or something, but it's your tradition. And you can spread that tradition throughout your family and your friends. And that's what we want to do, is get people in the tradition of the horse business. Because as a spectator, it can be fairly inexpensive. You know, if you Google in your area where you live at, you know, equine events, just Google equine events, and it'll pop up. You'd be surprised how many events you might have in your area. And, you know, 90% of them are free to go to all these horse shows. And, you know, some tracks even give you free admission for, you know, horse racing. And also, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. It's a great sport. And a lot of people don't understand it. You see a lot of girls riding at the shows at Wellington and Devlin and all over the world. But you can get a college scholarship, a full-ride scholarship for horse showing. And just about all the big schools have equine, you know, equine departments, and you can get a degree in equine management and you know, that type of thing. But more importantly, if you're a good rider, you can get you a full-ride scholarship, you know, for riding. And that's what's really good. And what I like, too, is the horse industry can give you a lifelong job. I don't know. Well, I do know some, but it's by their choice. But it's hard to be out of work in the horse business. It's very difficult. It is very difficult to not have work in the horse business. You know, and you find that niche, and you go to it, and there you are. You know, like a lot of times, this time of year, they start looking for employees down at the Kentucky Horse Park. And what they're trying to do is they're trying to get the Horse Park Farm in Lexington all together and organized, because they get over 300,000 people the 10 days before Derby at the track at the Kentucky Horse Park, and that's a wonderful show they have there. They've got horse shows, they get exhibitions, they got just about every horse in the world there in a stall. And you can see them when they turn them out and what they do with them. You know, it's really a pretty good deal. And they got all kinds of camping there and fishing and you name it, they have it. But it's part of the festival, the Derby Festival Week. And also there in Lexington, they have one of the biggest sales they have is at the end of April, and it's there at the Kingdom Sales Pavilion. And you can go to Kingston Sales Pavilion when the sales is on. Just walk through the front doors. They've got catalogs there that list all the horses that are being sold, and you can walk right in and you can see them buy these horses. And it's kind of exciting for people to go in and, you know, they've never been there and hear the auctioneer doing a call of the sale. And then they knock the hammer down and they say, sold for $1.2 million. And, you know, that's cool when you can see that, you know, with it. But, it's all about the horse business and getting out and educating yourself. You can do it. A lot of times it's free. I know growing up, we were kind of poor. And my dad, he used to take us out to the backside of Churchill, which was free on a Sunday morning. You know, and that was our big deal. We'd get a ride around town a little bit, go to the track, and, you know, maybe get some sausage biscuit and a coffee or a milk or an orange juice. And, you know, it was good. But, you know, that builds tradition, you know, for what you do and everything. So with my website, you don't have to be, you know, a real horse person to see the website. Because like right now, you know, I've got racing on there from across America. Aqueduct is on there. Hot Springs is on there. You know, we got a lot of good ones that we have. And so you can kind of see what it's about, what the weather's like, you know, where we're going with it and everything. So, but a good thing to do, but the festivals are even better because I like the festivals because I can go and relax at them. You know, it's, they got everything. Like at the Derby Festival, we got, the Royal Court, which the, from the state of Kentucky, they usually have like somebody from, they choose a girl from like Bellarmine College, University of Louisville, University of Kentucky, Western Kentucky, and for, to be the princes and the queen. And that's always good to go watch. It's really exciting to see who they are. I tell you, the sports that we have that are associated or close to the horse industry is just phenomenal. I think that, I'm not for sure, I'll have to check on this, but I think the weekend prior to the Derby, they have Clemson University is playing Louisville in football, and that's 2 miles from the racetrack. So, you know, that's something to do there. They got Thunder over Louisville. It's a great event. It kicks off with a day-long show and one of the largest fireworks in the country. They had over 650,000 people. I think it was back in 1978. They had 650,000 people there. And they always do over 500,000 of visitors there. It's down on the waterfront in downtown Louisville and on the Ohio River there. And it's an all-day thing. They have all types of military helicopters and planes and C-140s. And they have everything there. You know, they do a flyover all day long. And then at nighttime, they I guess it lasts almost 45 minutes now, a fireworks show, one of the largest in the world. And so, you know, that's pretty good that they have there. They got a thing that you can collect. It's a Pegasus pen. They cost like $1. And you get it, sometimes you win lottery tickets or you win a free meal at a local restaurant or, you know, something like that. Those are always good to get. And then they have the balloon race. And I tell you what, I was amazed at how big these hot air balloons are. I couldn't believe it. When I went in and went to see it for the first time, it just took my breath away. They have a huge balloon festival, and they probably get in the neighborhood of 40 to 50 of these hot air balloons. And those are the balloons you only usually see out in New Mexico, you know, with them out there. So they have that. But there's just all kinds of things to do. They got cruising. Takes everybody. Well, kids nowadays, they don't know what cruising is. Or, you know, we're a dying breed. But what they do is they have an area that you can cruise around Louisville in, and you see some of the nicest cars in the country come in there to do the cruising, you know, but the festival. And then that Saturday, you see just about all of them that were out there in the town. You'll see them out at, you know, the racetrack at Churchill there from the Derby. But, you know, there's just so many things that you got, you have there. If you want to call in, it's 323-744-4831. But, you know, it's about traditions. It's about things that you do. It's about life in itself, you know. You don't have to have a lot of money to participate in it, because most of the places you can go and watch is for free. You know, and that's a good family thing. You know, you can go watch and, you know, have some good food and meet people, and it's really great. It's really great. And so, you know, those are all the things that you can do, like in the Derby and the Triple Crown. And I'm going to get back to the point system here for the Derby. And it's very, very tense, especially here at our farm, because we've got a couple of trainers here that usually run in the Derby every year. We have one trainer here, Todd Pletcher, and he had four in the Derby at one time. And he's won it a couple of times right from our Palm Beach Downs farm out here. So, you know, we maintain a high standard of quality what we do. And it's exciting to be a part of this, you know, that we do. So this weekend, we have three Derby prep races. And it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, because we have one horse from one trainer here that's trying to get on the road to the Derby. And it's going to be tough for him, because he's got through some different, you know, setbacks and so forth and so on. So it's going to be interesting to see how far he goes, but he's going to take that step forward tomorrow when he goes up to Aqueduct to run. You know, we're going to see what happens there with that, but it's going to be interesting. But tomorrow on IEN, you will be able to see this live September 1st, 2025, from Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach, Florida. You're going to be able to see the Holy Bull Stakes. It's race number 11. Post time is 5:13 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a $250,000 race, 1 mile and 1/16. It includes $50,000 from the Florida Thoroughbred Breeders and Owners Association. It's going to be a good one. And like I said, it's $255,000. We have a 7-horse field. And I tell you what, all these horses are probably, they could finish like to come out of the gate dead heat. I don't see any one real outstanding, you know, horse in the bunch. We have Dale Romans has a horse in. Brad Cox's horse is a nice-looking horse. I think he needs to get a little more weight on him, a little more experience. But that's going to be a good race there tomorrow. The Holy Bull. And I tell you, Tappan Street for Brad Cox. I think that's going to be the horse that's going to win tomorrow. Billy Mott's got a horse in, Burning Glory. He's going to be closing real, real tough on him. But see, again, this is a small field. This is a 7-horse field. And this is literally a prep race for the Florida Derby that comes up in March. So, you know, this is very important. And you get Derby points in this race, too. So it's very, very important that, you know, you have a good race, you come out of it okay, and then you get to the end of the month in March, and you've got the Florida Derby, which, you know, will be coming up. Like I said, all these tracks have races like this, that prep races for their main and feature race, which, like a Gulfstream, is the Florida Derby. So then this is the Holy Bull tomorrow at 5:13. Go to IENTV.org and you'll be able to see it live on TV. Or you can go to Fox. or you can go to NBC. There's a million other ones that you can go to because everybody knows the importance of getting our product out there. So we're doing it any which way, shape, or form that you can, and that you want to see it. And here, then the second race that we're going to feature will be Aqueduct Racetrack in New York. This has always been a good race to test your horse to see if you can get to the Kentucky Derby. It's also a mile and an eighth, three-year-old. It's $250,000. It's got a seven-horse field. And this is kind of a drawback because if you're trying to get your horse ready for the Derby and you can't get more than seven horses, you know, to run against, when you get into the Derby and there's 20 horses, it's a whole new ballgame, you know, for the horse, because you got a crowd of, you know, 250,000 people. You got, you know, 19 more horses that are there to run against than you're normally running against. So it makes it kind of tough. But these horses have stayed in New York all summer long, all fall, and now into the winter up there. And it's going to be an interesting race. Brad Cox has another one in here. It's Uncle Jim is his name. And he's going to be a tough horse to beat. And see, it goes back to saying, like, we're trying to get to the Derby. You know, Brad Cox has multiple horses that could run in the Derby, but how do they get there? You know, you got to figure out, how do they get there? Do they get there by staying in New York, you know, all fall and all winter long, takes a chance on the weather? Or do you go to Florida and stay, you know, race out of Florida and then come up and run? You know, there's just so many things that you got to think about. But Brad Cox is a pretty doggone good trainer. He knows what he's doing. And so that's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he comes out of it this year. And it's Uncle Jim at Aqueduct Racetrack. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. And that post time on that race is 3:45 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the Wither Stakes from Aqueduct in New York. So we go to our third one now. Our third race, we go out west, travel across the country to Santa Anita Park. It's post time is 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, which will make that 4:30 here on the East Coast, which you can see on IENTV.org. It's called out here the Robert B. Lewis Stakes, Grade 3, post time 1:30. It's $200,000 for three-year-olds. It's going to be interesting to see. This is a five-horse race. So this is another trainer's nightmare. You want to get your horse out where you can get them experienced, the bumping and the banging and the chasing somebody down, having people pass them. You know, in a five horse field, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for them. I don't see a lot of good coming out of this race other than a good, perfect workout. Now, Bob Baffert, he's got three horses in here. He's got the 1, 2, and 3 horse in here. And so it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how he comes out, you know, in that. So I don't know, folks. It's going to be interesting. It's the Bob Baffert Show. It's the Bob Baffert Show in there to see what they have. But again, you know, these races are races that lead up to the Derby. And all the tracks have little prep races like this before they have, you know, the big one, before the Santa Anita Derby, you know, before the Arkansas Derby, before the Louisiana Derby. Those are all tough ones to go to, you know, to go to see. And from here on out, every weekend from here on out, there will be races that are prep races for the Kentucky Derby. So, you know, the trainers have a lot of options, but as every week goes by, it's going to be less and less options that they have, you know, to go to. And that makes it difficult because I experienced, we had a horse, Albada, in the 1982 Kentucky Derby. And we were in New Orleans at the fairgrounds. And we won the Louisiana Derby. So we were excited because we knew that that was our punching our ticket to the Kentucky Derby. But then it got down to the point where timing and training-wise, we had to do something. We had to go somewhere and run. He needed one more race before the Derby. And so we kind of thought it over and said, you know, we're in New Orleans. What we're going to do is we're going to take him up and run him in the Arkansas Derby, because that Arkansas Derby was a light field that year. And we said, you know, this might be the ticket. You know, we might have stumbled onto something here. Well, we get up to Hot Springs. The weather was bad. And not claiming that's why we lost. We just got beat by a better horse in that one. But, you know, it was interesting to see. But that was one of the options that we had. And would we do that again under that same conditions? No. We would have never done that again. We would have gone to a smaller race there at in New Orleans at the fairgrounds and then gone to Churchill instead of going all the way to Arkansas and running against a bunch of, you know, monsters up there that they had. So that's why we didn't do that. But there's a lot of races at each track that lead up to their finale. And so if you can stay at that track and do that and be competitive, that's great. You know, that is great. But like I said, every weekend now from here on out, we're going to have, you know, Derby prep races. And so, like I said, we've got the Holy Bull, the Robert B. Lewis, and the Withers Stakes. Then after that, we come 7 days later. We have the Sam F. Davis at Tampa Bay Downs. That's really a good one. That's a good prep race for the Florida Derby. That's a real good prep race for the Florida Derby because you don't have Florida ship. You know, 3 hours over from Tampa to Miami, and you're in good shape. And that would be the Sam F. Davis, and that's on February the 8th. And then this is a long ship, and they started to use this race, too, as a little stepping stone to Churchill. And a lot of trainers are sending their horses up there for, you know, to see how he handles the track and how the weather is. And, you know, they're just, you know, 90 miles from Churchill, you know, there at Turfway Park. And that's the Battaglia Memorial Stakes race. It's a mile and a 16th, and it's a good race. It's going to be a good race. Then we get into February a little more, and we're back at the fairgrounds to the Risen Star, which is another prep race for the Louisiana Derby. The Sunland Derby is on the 16th. And I tell you, I don't know a lot of horses that come out of the Sunland Derby to go on to Churchill and race. You know, you just don't see that. And I think it's a lot has to do with the training conditions there, the heat, you know, the distance that they would have to come. I said that's kind of tough, the Sunland Derby is. And then we're back again, you know, at Oakland Park for the Rebel. That's a good race. That's a mile and a 16th. That's always a real good toughener, you know, to start, you know, putting a stamp on yourself to go to Churchill Downs. Then we have the Fountain of Youth. That's exactly a month from tomorrow. At Gulfstream, that's a good preparation for the Florida Derby. At Aqueduct, we got the Gotham Stakes. That's a good one. If you're stable in New York, that's a good place to be, and a good race to run. A lot of good winners come out of the Gotham Stakes. And then we got the San Felipe and Santa Anita. That's a real tough race. And I tell you what, a lot of horses have come out of there and gone on to win the Preakness. You know, Bob Baffert would probably have three or four or five in that race. March the 8th, we got the Tampa Bay Derby. That is an excellent prep race for the Derby, the Kentucky Derby, because it's just right enough weeks out from the Derby that you can let your horse recover, you know, and do good. That's really a good one. And if you're a good trainer, you can tune them up and you can tighten them up and use that as a stepping stone to Churchill Downs. And then this was added new this year, the Virginia Derby. That's March the 15th. It's at Colonial Downs. It's going a mile and an eighth. And it's a great track. And, you know, then if you could win that, you can stay right there, you know, at Colonial Downs. And if he comes out of the race good, you come out one morning and make a left-hand turn out of the, or right-hand turn out of the gate and get on 64 and go right straight down to Louisville, Kentucky, to Churchill Downs. And that's good. But that was added new this year. We've had them take away a few, but that was new. Then we got the Jeff Ruby Stakes up at Turfway. That's a nice race, a mile and 3/16. It's on synthetic turf. Then March 22nd is the Louisiana Derby. And let me tell you, that's a tightener for sure. You can come out of there and be in good shape. The 29th is the Florida Derby. And a lot of horses that ran in the Florida Derby, we had from our Palm Beach Downs farm down here, Super Saver, Monarchos, and Always Dreaming that won the Derby. And it set those horses up, you know, right good for it. And that's what I like about being down here where I'm at, is I get to see all these top horses training every day, day in and day out. And, you know, then you know what kind of horses they are, you know, how they're training, where they're going. You know, and that's really a nice thing to see these horses on the first Saturday, May, and know that they might have a shot, you know, at the Derby. And then that pretty much, ends it up. We got April the 5th is the Santa Anita Derby. And then back again, Aqueduct, the Wood Memorial is there on April the 5th. And then we close out the season with the Lexington at Kingland. That is on April the 12th. So, you know, you see there's a lot to it, and I probably got you more confused than anything, and when I get you all confused, maybe that'll make you want to go see everything, see what I was talking about and everything. So that's all about the Derby. Now, like I said, next week we're going to go in detail on these races that I just told you about. We're going to show you the Withers, the Holy Bull. We're going to show you those races. In Santa Anita, I will show you all those races that we'll go over and take a look at them. And our friends from NBC, and we'll be sending us a video of that, that you can see what it's like. You can see the interviews and see the people, that'll be there. But like I said, you can watch it live tomorrow on IENTV.org to see that. And also, you know, I hope you guys would like to come out and see the horses. And if you live in South Florida, all you got to do is give us a call here at IEN and tell me you want to come out and see the horses. And, you know, I'll be glad to take you a tour of the farm. Now, we got three farms here. We have Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. It's a 175-acre farm. We have some of the best standardbreds in the world that are out here. We have horses from Sweden, and we got horses from all over the world here. And they're really good, and they're getting their winter training in, getting ready for the summer racing that they'll be doing over in Sweden and here in the United States. And then we have some of the best show horses in the world here. We got riders that are riding in Europe. They're riding all the big events all over the world. And they're here. They're with John Beebe over there with Cary Trail Farms. He's got a great riders there. And most of all his riders are riders that go to Florida Atlantic University and ride on their equestrian team. So, it's really nice. And you come out here on a Saturday morning around 9 o'clock and you can see them. They're jumping and training on the main track out here for the standard bred horses. So, you could see that, and it's free to come in. Just ask for me. They call me the governor out here. Just ask for the governor, and they'll tell you right where I'm at, and you can come out and see what we're doing. And we're off of 441 between Atlantic Avenue and it's just south of Atlantic Avenue on 441 on the right-hand side out here. So you can do that. And then we have Delray Equestrian Center. They have show horses, riding horses, AQHA horses. Brandon Mills is our manager of all three of the farms out here. He and his family are AQHA people. They're Hall of Famers. They're big in the game. You know, they're big in the game. And they got a nice farm over there. So we got the three farms, you know, that are here that Brandon takes care of. And you can come out and see, you know, who all's here. And you never can tell when you might see a famous athlete out here that owns horses, or, you know, famous movie star that owns horses, or, you know, a race car driver that owns horses. You never can tell who you'd see out here. And they like out here because it's nice and quiet. But we have 175 acres here, 150 acres at Palm Beach Downs, where we have some of the top thoroughbreds in the country that are over there. In fact, we got some horses going from Palm Beach Downs over to Dubai to run next week. They're going to leave, and they're going to be gone for a couple of weeks over there. They'll be doing that. So, you know, you're more welcome to come out and take a ride. I'll take you around and show you the farm, ride you around on the gator, and you can see all the wildlife we have out here. We've got gators, and we've got deer, and we got, you name it, we got it, all kinds of animals out here. And we only have one human animal out here, and we keep him locked up out here. So, but you can do that. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah. This is what I really like to get any listeners, if I have out there, to send me a recipe to ientv.2025@gmail.com. ientv.2025@gmail.com. Send me your recipe for a Triple Crown race, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Derby, the Breeders' Cup. And what we'll do is we'll have it made on air once we start getting recipes in. We'll make show it on air and talk back and forth with you, you know, to what you're doing and how you did it and how you come up with it. Because that's really going to be good. And you know, what I like about the food aspect of what we're doing, everybody has a different recipe for different everything. The show horse people, they barbecue and they cook and they bake. The standard bred people, they do the same thing. Thoroughbred people really do big things. And like on Saturdays, like when you go to racing or go to show, you know, everybody usually makes up a big barbecue type something or other. We got one guy that does pizza, and he's not even Italian. And man, he makes the best pizza in the world, you know, that he does on show days. And so, you know, that's what we're trying to do here, get everybody educated, spread the word. You know, talk about what you're doing, what you like about it. Who knows, you might be able to get into the business pretty inexpensive. And next week, tune in, and I'll tell you how you can get in owning a horse for only $79. $79, my friend. I can get you a part owner and a horse. That includes your, you'll be able to go see him race at the racetrack because you're an owner. If he wins, you get a win picture. If he wins, you get a little bit of money. You get daily and weekly updates on your horse. But it's for $79. And D. Wayne Lucas is the trainer. You can't beat that. You got the best trainer, one of the best trainers in the world training your horse. You know, and you don't have to tell people whatever you say. Oh, well, you know, I own part of a horse. You don't have to tell them it's $79, just a fraction owner of it. But you're an owner. No, you're an owner just as much as the guy that owns 99% of it. But tune in next week, and we'll talk about that, and we'll show you the horses that are available, and you can take a look at it and see what it's all about. So that'll be next week. But see, there's all kinds of things that you can do in the business. I tell you what, we got a lot of guys that were golfing, and now they're part owners in these horses, and they don't golf anymore because it's cheaper to do this than it is to golf every week. But, you know, there's just so much to do. And I'd like to talk to you people about, you know, what you think and, you know, what you have in your area. And I tell you what, if you call in next week, and my call-in number here, 323-744-4831, I'll give the first caller the 2025 Kentucky Derby and Oaks class. I'll send you a Kentucky Derby and Oaks class that they'll have on the first Saturday in May at Churchill Downs. All you got to do is call in. It's 323-744-4831. And then we can talk horses and see what all you guys like and what you don't like and get you on the show and let you talk about where you live at and, you know, what kind of horse things you can do. But remember, Google equine events in your area and see what all's around you. It's going to surprise you. It's going to surprise you about all the horse stuff that's there. I guarantee you. And then you can tell me about it. You can call in and tell me about it. Maybe win that Derby glass and that Oaks glass out there. But other than that, it's been a slow week here at the farm. We got just about all of our horses down here for the winter. And they usually stay with us until April, unless they're racing or showing somewhere, you know, outside the state. You know, we're filled up pretty much, and we'll be that way until probably the 1st of May, and then about half of our horses leave. We got 750 horses here at Sunshine Meadows. We've got 126, I believe it is, at Delray, and another 160 at Palm Beach Downs. And when you come out to visit, you know, I'll take you over to Palm Beach Downs, and you can see the horses train over there, and that's where Todd Pletcher trains. He's one of the most successful trainers in the business forever. He's won a few derbies and a lot of big races and all. But you can see how they train in the morning. And if you go to the website and you scroll down, you'll see Meet the Trainer. That's Todd Pletcher. That's the barn you would go to see. And you'll see how his morning starts out. That's a real good piece there. It's the trainer. And also, well, I bored you guys enough already for the day. I appreciate anybody that listened to me today. I just rambled on. But, you know, I'm just a regular guy. And I'm in the horse business, a lifelong horse business person. And so all I can say is get a hold of us and enjoy the horse business. Be a friend of the horse people. Next Friday, tune in at the same time, and I'll even have more boring stories for you.